Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Merry Christmas, Bishop. Good morning. How are you, Jesse?
And Merry Christmas to everyone out there listening. Very happy that you've joined us this morning on this joyful day.
It is a very joyful day, and we are prepared to hear the gospel. Bishop will present that to us now.
Yeah, I'm only going to read a section of it because there's four gospels for this day, for the vigil, the midnight, and so we're going to read just a portion to kind of set the stage for this beautiful day.
Okay.
It's from the Gospel of St. John, the beginning verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by human generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I chose this section because we all know the story of Christmas. The Magi finding their way to Bethlehem, and the shepherds in the fields, and all coming to the manger scene that we are preparing to celebrate in our homes or have already celebrated at church. But we know that scene. But the reality is that God became one of us. And God is the Word of truth. God is the Word of love. And so that love, that Word of God, lives in our lives and lives in our homes, in our families, in our communities. We just need to live accordingly. And the life really comes to the beauty in our relationships. So I want to point that out as we celebrate Christmas, not to miss the true fact of Christmas, which is God among us, Emmanuel, that Jesus, the Word of God, lives in our lives, and that each word that he has given us throughout the Gospels is so important to how we live beautiful and decent lives in this world. And especially on Christmas, we remember that. So we've invited the Filippello family also to be here with us today, just to kind of speak about Christmas and their own experience of family life. And hopefully we can all relate and understand from their experience and speak about that a little bit more. So there's Johnny and Katia and Daniel with us this morning. So welcome.
We welcome them to the show. How are you?
Great. Good morning.
Hi, Bishop. Hi, everybody. Good morning and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. How are you guys?
Thank you. Good, Daniel. We're all doing great. Right. So we've all lived Christmas in many years of our life, but as a family, can you just say something about the meaning of Christ in your family life and how that's real?
You know, every day we try to make that our focus. In the evenings, we pray together, and then we try to live our life as he would want us to. But we obviously always make mistakes and try to learn from that. But it's a constant struggle to do our best with it. Mm-hmm.
We pray, we pray as a family, like Johnny was saying, and the main thing at the end of the day is we want to give thanks to God for everything that we've faced that day, for every single blessing, for any challenges that, you know, that come that day. And we ask him to help us to be like him, how he wants us to be every day. And we know that we're not going to be perfect, and we have this thing, I feel like, and I say we, maybe other people, with the struggle of like trying to be perfect, which is just impossible. There's only one person that was ever perfect in this world, and that's our Lord. But as a family, we have our your priest at home. He gave us a couple of things for the candle holders, and we just have a little something where we know that Jesus is there with us to be reminded of him every day.
It sounds like a prayer together is really a solid moment for you, but also, we all know that we make mistakes. And I mean, I don't live an isolated life myself. So there are those times when prayer really shows that God is with us, even if we have made mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the beauties of it. I always tell the story of the night that I had a really difficult day at work, and I went home just filled with all my mistakes. And I went into the chapel and looked up at the cross and sat down and started laughing. And I felt that was really my prayer. It's like he was saying, I understand. I know here I am on the cross, and I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. And I think that's the beauty of prayer. It's a very simple, but it also is very healthy and very human. We do make mistakes, and God does understand.
And Daniel does a really amazing job praying. What's some of your favorite things?
Pray for like families, and hopefully we have another great day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Also like that, and hopefully like the homeless will get homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, those are most of my favorites.
They're thinking of your family, but also of others that are in need. That's great. That's great. Yeah. Kind of helps you understand how fortunate you are, but also how you can help others in their needs too.
And there's a beautiful tradition that my mother-in-law has had for the longest time that I've now learned joining the family is, you know, for Christmas, we celebrate Mass. And then afterwards, the kids read the Christmas story. Mm-hmm. And they all take part into it, and they take turns, and the book is passed around. And then she also has a birthday cake for Jesus. And we literally celebrate his birthday. Yeah, wow. You know, we sing him happy birthday, right, yeah. Papa? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You look forward to that, I guess, Daniel. Look forward to it.
And then we have cake.
Of course, you do eat a piece.
Yeah, and then we have cake, so.
I was at Most Precious Blood, though. 2 Sundays ago, and blessed all the little baby Jesuses that people brought to put in their cribs. Mm-hmm. And it was really moving to see how many people have that tradition of having a crib at home and remembering that God is in that child, and mm-hmm. that child is God and in our homes. So it's a great image to keep in mind that God lives in our homes.
And yet, you know, at the same time, it's interesting because talking to some people, we're always asking them right before Christmas, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? And the number one answer was, no. You know, a lot of people, you get so caught up in the shopping and am I going to buy the right gift? And you know, putting up the lights, we haven't put up the Christmas tree. Yeah. And put up, you know, it's interesting. All the things that you think of.
Yeah.
Instead of really getting ready for what the day is about.
Speaking of lights, I don't know if Katya shared with you, but you did a beautiful sermon about the focus of Christmas and not being on shopping and this. And I liked the teaser right after we left church. It was, we got to go buy our lights.
Got to go shopping.
But in all seriousness, it's how do we bring that focus back to Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think most people of faith, they know the balance that's there. I remember as a young priest, when you're ready to save the world, everybody, and nobody can go shopping, and everybody's got to get them. But the reality of shopping and preparing your home physically with lights and trees, and it's part of it. I mean, it sets the tone and the beauty of the house to be able to pray and to be able to celebrate together and be joyful. Mm-hmm. Together as well. So all that's important too. It's just not overdo it. But I think when we have faith, we don't overdo things.
We had a pastor at my church, and after he retired, he truly would say Mass at my parents' house on Christmas Eve with our whole family.
That's half the parish, though, wasn't it?
But it truly was a way for us to all have the presence sitting over there, and still does to this day.
It's funny how life is all connected. When we moved from Houston to Austin, our associate pastor, or the young pastor, was Father John. Mm-hmm. And then when I served in College Station, he was in Bryan, so I knew him there. And then now you've come, and it was a big part of your family too. So it's amazing how what goes around comes around.
Small world.
Is there any special, Daniel, any special things on Christmas Day that you like to remember?
Well, I like Well, it's like special to me that Jesus was born on that day, which makes me like excited and happy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you've just started serving too, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
So we served, I think, the first time together 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. But the other thing I wanted to just focus on with this gospel too is that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so listening to the gospel every Sunday and just kind of hearing those words, but then putting them into practice. That's one of the things on this program that I really try to emphasize is not so much that he said something, but he said it so that we could live that way. And I think one of the ones that all of us have to deal with daily is forgiveness, you know, mm-hmm. being able to forgive each other. But those words, that's Jesus telling us and showing us how to forgive, also when he was on the cross forgiving others. So there's so many aspects of the gospel that become real throughout the year mm-hmm. that are really important to enrich our lives, really, not change, but to enrich them.
What are some of your Christmas traditions, turning the interviewee Bishop and for Jesse?
So many things that I remember growing up, of course, being in Catholic school for a number of years, but I was always struck by a nun that always told us that of all the ways that Jesus could have come into the world, he came through a family. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't just come, you know, out of the sky. It wasn't a big, huge, you know, it was more the subtle beginnings and through the family and through, we talked about Joseph last weekend, Bishop, and we also talked about Mary's role saying yes. All those things are what we do in families. We say yes all the time to God, whatever challenge he brings us. And around this time of year, we always reflect on how, of all the ways Jesus could have come into the world, he chose to be very humbly as well. But I think that humility teaches us a lot beyond Christmas and into the year as we deal with all the situations. So many different layers for me as well. But I think a lot of times when you look back on it, you think about how he came into the world through a family and those challenges that came. I go later when we go into the readings into the year, the story of how they lose him at the temple. And so many, you know, that's kind of like, I think every parent's nightmare is, like, mm-hmm. where is he? We lost him, you know? So don't get lost, Daniel. Okay. Mm-hmm. Stay on track. But a lot of it is just that kind of that sense of family is what I remember growing up. Cause it was me and my sister and my mom and dad always honoring those traditions and going to church. And I had an uncle who was a priest. So we had mass said at home as well. So it was a beautiful blessing and a beautiful time for me.
Well, I think that's important. You know, five of us siblings and when Kaki and I got married, I jokingly said, but we followed through with it, is Christmas Eve is time for my family. Mm-hmm. It's the one time a year that we can all be home mm-hmm. for one night
right.
and celebrate together. And then we go off and do our thing. But you know, how do we bring that family back together? And
sure.
and it's instilled in us to, you know, no matter where we're at, we're going to find our chance to be together.
Sure. Absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
I think that's a great point. I think some things we may have lost, unfortunately, is the traditions in family life. And mm-hmm. certainly this is a big one. There's major ones, but also throughout the year, just setting up family moments where we can be together. It really is important. I think you look back, I know I look back, and there's so many beautiful moments and traditions, grandparents coming over and so many mm-hmm. things that really solidify the family without us really understanding that that's what's happening.
It was happening while we were there in those moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just a couple of weeks ago, we went and experienced the Our Lady of Guadalupe feast at church here in Corpus
mm-hmm.
and Holy Family mm-hmm. Church. And what, you know, I don't speak Spanish, but I mm-hmm. could appreciate the tradition the fact that those families, you know, put their life and soul into it each and every year.
Sure.
Really reminded me of the Italian tradition of St. Joseph feast that we do, and how do you know, so often we lose those traditions.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And if you live far away, you know, you think this is the one time of year that you can get to see all of your family, hopefully, you know,
right.
no matter what, that this is the one time of year that everybody can come together.
Yeah.
You know, was that like that for your family, Bishop? Did y'all Oh, is it the one tradition that you...
No, I'm a different era. We all lived in the same city.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
So it was everybody, you know, in the evenings was basically us and my mom's side of the family. And then the next day it was my dad's side. And for lunch, Christmas lunch, everybody came. You know, it was just a huge gathering. But, and I think of that, and then I looked several times I've been to Bethlehem and to the manger where Jesus was born, and to know that it was just Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, a small gathering in a very, very humble setting, but that was a family. So it doesn't take, you know, much. It doesn't take a lot of externals, but the relationship of a husband, wife, and their child.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of that, that moment of his birth, really, it's touching. And unfortunately, when you go through, it's like, okay, kiss the rock and move on. But you want to spend time there, you know, you really want to take time to appreciate the beauty of Christmas, the beauty of the family, the beauty of the Word of God among us, that Emmanuel is God with us. And that's something we can't forget in Christmas celebration, that God is with us. It is real. When we were talking about forgiveness, I do remember a moment many years ago. My dad decided one year that we would have a family gift. We were not going to give little, you know, individual gifts. We were going to have a family gift. He was big on family, thank God. And we had just moved into a new house, and there was a huge room upstairs, which was kind of unidentified. And so when this family gift was arriving on Christmas Eve, we were all running around. We knew it was a pool table.
Oh, nice.
Dad is really splurged.
That's hard to wrap one. It's hard to wrap a pool table.
So he puts us in the den, and the doorbell rings, and we hear all this talk, and it's being set up in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, how's a pool table going to be in the living room?
So we're getting a little bit suspicious, and we walk in later after they left, and it was a little Hammond organ. And everybody went, and my poor dad thought he was doing a gift, and he got so upset. And I said, "Dad, I'll try to play." And everybody looked at me like, "So." And I think I and one of my other brothers were the only two that actually took lessons over the year. We all laughed, but it's funny like that. Having said that, with families, those moments, they also create moments to talk about as you get older and laugh about.
Right.
Remember the organ, because we always said, remember the organ.
Remember the pool table.
Remember the pool table. It was an organ.
But those are special moments in families. Yeah. You know, we get upset with each other, but also with the right attitude, it becomes, you know, a fun moment as you get older, especially.
You look back on it.
I wish we had the pool table.
To this day.
But we still have the organ, actually, but the pool table, I'm sure, would have been gone.
That's funny. Lots of traditions, lots of things, of course, always remembering our Lord and his nativity and everything that leads up to it. And like you were saying, Bishop, he wants us to be at peace. And a lot of times forgiveness is part of those family experiences where sometimes you've got a little bit of tension, a little bit of things that need to be cleared away. But as we observe Christmas and welcome him into our hearts, I think a lot of times people need to be reminded that forgiveness just takes that step, and God will guide us once we make that initial effort to do that.
Yeah.
And you guys reminded me when talking about family about how we celebrated Christmas in Honduras. I'm originally from Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
And being at Holy Family recently for Our Lady, it's as close as I feel to Honduras and my native land, I guess. Mm-hmm. But Christmas is a huge deal, you know, in Honduras, and Christmas Eve. I mean, you are talking about you wear your best.
Yeah.
You are at everybody's house. Mm-hmm. You are at cousins, aunts, uncles. And, you know, one aunt lives at this house, the other one lives down, and you just walk to each other's houses. You have fireworks. You have, I mean, it is just, it's, you know, up until 3 a.m. Santa Claus, I don't know. Santa comes at some point, you know.
He shows up when he's supposed to.
You know, but it's just such a huge celebration with music and food and family. And I just remember that being very active in South America, in Central America.
I think it's, you know, when you look at just summing up what we're saying, that the Jesus being born in a family gives meaning to family, and that with all these traditions, they're part of family. It's not external to family life, and just appreciating that. Sometimes it takes us a little older to appreciate those things. But it also, I think, trying to think of the whole world needs family right now. The family is being pulled apart by so many distractions and evils as well. But it's a time for us on this Christmas to remember the need for families in our world and in our own lives, to not ignore our families, or to reconcile. Also, I would say sometimes families get torn apart for many reasons, but it's time to reconcile and come together and put aside, which is what Jesus' ultimate mission was, to reconcile all of humanity with God, but also with one another. And how important that is to building up the family, and being brave enough and wise enough to say, I'm sorry if I have to, and to make the first step to do that. So this is a part of Christmas as well.
And so many things coming up to look forward to. Of course, Mass today at Cathedral on Christmas Day, and we lead into the season of Christmas, and we continue that into next week, which will be a new year, and so many things to look forward to with that as well, which I think a lot of us are taken by surprise at how the new year arrives so quickly. and here we are.
Yeah. And the other thing is that it's all because the Word of God became flesh that we have direction, because without that direction, we're just left on our own human virtues, but which are not always that strong, but our human vices also can pull us apart. And the Word did become flesh. God did become real in human life, to walk with us and to show us what is possible and the beauty. And one of the things I think for this year to remember about God becoming flesh, Jesus becoming one of us, is how he reached out to people. I think sometimes we, in our society, we have to be opposed to people that think differently than I do, that we can't talk, that we cannot dialogue, as the word is today. And somehow that's seen as something that's opposed to being true to myself or true to my values. But in families, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you know, you come together and there are differences, but if you don't talk, if you don't dialogue with each other, we never find also the richness of the other person, but also we never find a way to reconcile those differences, which become a treasure to us later on. So I really encourage families, people, to look at themselves this Christmas, and the very reason Jesus came was to reconcile, to bring us together and not to separate us no matter who we are. I think of the many, speaking of the word, the gospel, how many times he reached out to people that he didn't know, or that socially or religiously or culturally he should not be talking to, the Samaritan woman.
Right.
No, you don't do that. But he did. The woman caught in adultery, you don't do that, but he did. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. You avoid Zacchaeus because he's a bad guy, he's a bad dude. But Jesus called him down and said, I want to eat at your house. We have to take that example. This is what Bethlehem is all about, the manger, that God came in that form of a human person like us and taught us through his own actions to be reconciled with one another. So I'm sure there are Zacchaeuses in our life that we'd rather not talk to.
Right.
You know, there's probably somebody who's spiritually different than we are, culturally different than we are, language difference. But this is the time for us to say, no, I want to reach out to that person, because I might enrich that person, but also myself. It's not to be afraid of each other. And that's, again, a strong message of Christmas, not to be afraid of each other, but to be friends with each other.
And what a difference it makes when you give everything for the Lord, right? When you give your problems, or you say, Lord, help me figure out what do I need to say to this person? How do I say it? What's the first step? And he guides you. When you wholeheartedly give that up to the Lord, I really do think he gives you the answer. And you don't, if you have faith, you know that he will give you that answer. You know, how do I approach this person? Maybe I was in the wrong. Maybe they were in the wrong.
But and that's part of prayer. I think that's great, because sometimes we can reach out imprudently and make it worse. You know?
But to ask even though this is what you said.
Right, right.
Exactly. Prayer, you know, in fact, And I'll say this with my beloved Pink Sisters. I was asking them to pray for something one day, and it actually a year later happened. Oh. And I was telling them about it, and one of them just kind of ducked her head. And she said, "Will you ask us to pray for that?" And I went, "Oh, I did." Careful. And we were actually crying at breakfast, but also laughing with each other. How prayer does work. If there is a difference that needs to be healed, and ask for that grace. What's your greatest thing you're going to ask for this Christmas, Daniel? You got. I'm putting you on the spot. You're the final word.
Probably maybe like a pet crab.
The gift that keeps on giving. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Don't let it pinch you.
Yeah. Exactly. That's funny. Yeah,
okay. All right.
Well, on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and myself, we thank the Filippello family for coming in and sharing your stories with us. And Bishop, Merry Christmas to you. If you would give us your final thoughts on this program for today.
I ask for God's blessings upon everyone who's listening today, wherever you are in the world. I know people listen from across the world. And God wants us all to be one. As Jesus prayed his last prayer, Father, may they all be one. May this Christmas bring about a new change in our hearts and a new change in our minds so that we may work better for a more peaceful and beautiful world. May Almighty God bless each one of us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you all.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5. KLUX, and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.